You in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Time passes very, very quickly. We have entered into the last stage of autumn, and then very soon winter will be here. Now, the question for all of us is this, of course: what have we been doing for the Lord? What have we been doing for the Lord? And should the Lord return today, what kind of account would we be able to give to the Lord? He has given us time, money, talent, abilities. How have we been using all this for the Lord? I trust, my dear friends, that you will take heed to these questions and then pose these questions to ourselves and honestly answer them for the glory of God's name. Now, my wife and I take leave of you on Tuesday. We'll be going to Singapore. We'll be away for 2 Sundays. Do pray for us as we continue to remember you in prayer. Now, the subject this morning is not fools, but wise. Not fools, but wise. I speak from Ephesians chapter 5. My focus mainly will be on verses 14 and 15. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools, but as wise. The wicked are asleep spiritually. In fact, the wicked are more than spiritually asleep. They are spiritually dead, dead in trespasses and sins. But we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are true believers, are alive. We should be walking, not sleeping. But friends, we must be walking circumspectly, which means we are to walk carefully, we are to walk strictly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't elaborate what he meant by fools here, so we have to try to do some thinking in regards to what a fool is. Now, so what is a fool? Now, first of all, a fool is one who is called a fool by God. If God calls a person a fool, he's a fool indeed. And we have an example of a fool given to us in Psalm 14, verse 1. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So the atheist, who is a fool in God's sight, says, there is no God. But what he says actually makes no difference in regards to the existence of God. He may invent any kind of thinking, and that kind of thinking may be looked upon as very smart, intelligent, wise by the world, and the atheists may receive lots of adulations from people in the world. He may receive great awards, great honors. But, dear friends, it makes no difference how he thinks. He may think how he likes. It makes no difference how he thinks. God exists, and God calls such a person a fool. And if God calls you a fool, you are a fool indeed. How can you not be a fool if God exists and you say he doesn't exist? And how can you not be a fool if there is such a thing as a judgment after death and you say there is no judgment after death? And how can you be a how can you not be a fool if you say that there is no eternal hell punishment when there is going to be an eternal hell punishment, and if you do not repent from your sins, you are liable to be punished? And how can you not be a fool if Christ offers you salvation and you say there is no such a thing as salvation and you reject salvation? You are a fool indeed in God's sight. Yes, if God calls you a fool, you are a fool indeed. Now, let's ask this question. How does a fool behave? Now, I'd like us to consider this acronym FOOL, F-O-O-L, FOOL. Now, a fool is governed by his feelings. First of all, he's governed by his feelings, F, by his feelings. And next, a fool is governed by his own desires, his own desires. And a fool also acts, a fool acts on one thing only. And that is, he is a very, very lopsided person. He is a one-thing-only person, a very lopsided person. And number four, a fool lacks knowledge. He lacks knowledge. So that's what a fool is. Now, a fool is governed by his feelings. Now, it is really very, very foolish to act based on our feelings, because feelings can be very, very deceiving. Now, could you imagine, let's say, an investor waking up early in the morning feeling very, very good about himself and feeling very, very good about the stock market? And then he say, wow, the stock market is really very good. I feel that it's very good. I feel very good about myself. I feel very good about the stock market. I'm going to put all my money, all my savings into stocks and shares. When in actual fact, he has done his studies and he knows that the stock market is going south. In fact, the stock market is going to crash. But he says, I feel very good. I feel that the stock market is going to soar. And he puts all his money into the stock market. Now, can we imagine an investor acting in that manner? Of course not. We say that investor is indeed very, very foolish to act based on his feelings. Yet, spiritually speaking, people like to act based on their feelings, spiritually. Yes, they like to act based on their feelings. Now, you take, for example, as we said many times before, many people like to go to feel-good type of church meetings. They like to go to meetings, church meetings, where there are a lot of singing, entertainment, and where speakers give messages that make people feel very good. They love to go to such meetings because they want to feel good. Yes, such people want to have a good time. They want to be excited by the messages. So they keep singing and they keep singing and they repeat the songs until they feel very, very good, until they have an emotional high. Now, friends, it is really foolishness to think that we are blessed when we are not blessed. Because we feel that we are emotionally high, and we think that we are blessed because we are emotionally high. But it's foolish, my dear friends, to think that we are blessed when in actual fact we are not. We are blessed only if we are doing God's will. Let's understand this truth. Blessed only if we are doing God's will. In Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, the psalmist tells us what the blessed person is. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That is what the blessed person is. He meditates on God's word day and night. He is excited by God's laws. Yes, he delights in God's law. He delights to obey God's laws. That is what a blessed man is. Yes, how a person feels is actually quite irrelevant in regards to the blessings that he receives from the one true living God. How foolish it is to feel blessed when in actual fact we are not. And how foolish it is to feel that we are saved when we are not saved. We have actually not repented from our sins, but we feel saved. We have not really have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and we think that we are saved. And then when we ask, how do you know that you are saved? Oh, I know that I'm saved because I feel that I'm saved. I feel good. I feel that I'm saved. No, my dear friends, feelings don't save you. You may feel saved when you are not. On the other hand, you may not feel safe, but you have actually trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have truly received him as your Lord and Savior, and you have been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord and Savior, And although you don't feel safe, my dear friends, the Word of God guarantees that you are saved. So you are truly saved, even though you don't feel safe. So friends, let's not rely on our feelings. Yes, if we rely on our feelings, we are really acting very, very foolishly. Next, a foolish person acts based on his own desires. His own desires. He does things to please himself. He doesn't care whether he pleases God or not. What he desires, he must have. And I think we know this case, the case of Samson in the Word of God. He was one who was always governed by his desires. The women he desired, he must have them. Yes, that was Samson. And Judges chapter 14 verses 1 and 2 tell us something about Samson. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. You see, he desired that woman, and he must satisfy his desire. What he desires, what he desired, he must have. And Judges 16:1 says this of Samson. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. He desired this woman, and he must satisfy his desire. Whatever he desired, he must have. And then he was enticed by this woman, Delilah. Yes, he saw Delilah, desired Delilah, and he must have Delilah. And then he was very, very foolish indeed, acting on his desire. So he was enticed by Delilah, and to Delilah he revealed the secret of his strength. You see, Samson was a Nazarite. And as a Nazarite, he was not supposed to shave his hair. And the secret of his strength, based on God's will, was this, that he must not shave his hair as a Nazarite. Yes, but he revealed this secret to Delilah. Now, the point was this. Samson acted foolishly. He was governed by his desires. So he revealed this secret to Delilah, and one day he was asleep, his hair was shaved, and he lost his strength. And then he was captured by the Philistines, the enemies of the children of Israel. He was blinded. Yes, but then God was very, very merciful to him. God restored him his strength in time, and with that strength he was able to destroy the enemies of the Israelites, the Philistines. But in the process of doing so, he was killed. You see, so he was really a very, very foolish man because he acted based on his desires. The wise does not act on his desires. He knows that to be wise, he must act based on what? Based on God's word, of course. If we want to be wise, we must act based on God's word. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The law of God makes wise the simple. Now, if we want wisdom, then we must act based on the word of God. Yes. So, friends, if we want to be wise, act wisely, act based on the word of God. Let's not be foolish. If we want to be wise, let's test our desires against the laws of God. Are we or are we not obeying his laws? Test our desires against his laws. If God's word clearly says no, and we still go ahead, we can be very, very sure that we are acting based on our desires. His word says no, but we still go ahead, then we can be very, very sure that we are acting based on our desires. Sometimes we want to think so badly that even when God's word says no, we still go ahead. Now, I cannot but bring this matter of relationship up again. God's word is very, very clear in regards to relationship. God's word says it, "Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers." If you want to breach this rule and you act based on your desire, you are really very, very foolish indeed. God says, "Be ye not unequally yoked," and you say, "Yes, Lord, but I have to enter into this relationship," and you go into this relationship, you end up with very, very foolish results, with lots of heartaches, with lots of headaches, and with lots of miseries. Whether it be a marriage relationship, whether it be a business relationship. Such a relationship does not honor the one true living God. You go into it, you are actually satisfying your own desire. It is a very, very foolish act with very, very disastrous consequences. Next, a foolish person is a one-thing-only type of person. One thing only type of person, meaning to say that he's very, very lopsided in his views and his thinking. For example, for a lopsided believer, there can be only one thing when it comes to, let's say, showing mercy and righteousness. It's either mercy or righteousness. It cannot be mercy and righteousness going together. Yeah, he doesn't, a foolish person doesn't believe in showing both. He will show righteousness at the expense of mercy, or he will show mercy at the expense of righteousness. Now, friends, if we show mercy without righteousness, that is foolishness, because we can end up preaching or teaching a gospel that is false. Now, you take, for example, the case of providing social relief. All right, social relief. We could be so very, very sympathetic with the plight of the victims that we say, we must do everything possible to help these victims. Good thought, good motive. Now, but friends, if we stop there, we are actually being very, very foolish, because we are not meeting the eternal needs of these people who are in need. Yes, what is the greatest need? You think it's the physical need? No, my dear friends, the greatest need is an eternal need, the need of for salvation. We are giving only the social gospel and not the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ if we aim to provide for their social needs. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is salvation of the soul in the first instance and not salvation of the body. Let's get it clear in our head, my dear friends. And for the salvation of the soul, the righteousness of God must be emphasized. The holiness of God must be emphasized. Yes, the hearer must understand that he cannot come into God in his own righteousness. The hearer must understand that if he wants to come into the presence of the one true living God, his sins must be cleansed, and he must put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can come into the presence of the one true living God. So, my dear friends, it is really foolishness to show mercy without righteousness. But it is also foolishness to show only righteousness without mercy. Now, if we show righteousness without mercy, we can become a church that is very, very orthodox. We are so absolutely right in our doctrinal, beliefs, so we like to think. We live moral, upright lives, but we have no interest at all in showing mercy. We are not interested in giving the gospel to other people. We say we are interested, but we don't do it. And then we are not interested in doing missions. We say, we are interested in doing missions, but we don't do it. And then we are very, very good at criticizing other people, particularly their doctrinal beliefs. We say that their doctrines are not as pure as our doctrinal beliefs. That church is not as good as ours because they do not have pure beliefs. My dear friends, we are indeed very, very foolish, because we can be like the church at Ephesus, spoken of by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, this was what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this church at Ephesus. I read for you from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." The he here refers to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, who walks among the seven golden candle lampstands, who walks among the seven churches. In other words, verse 2, "I know thy works and thy labor." Jesus was talking to the church at Ephesus. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." In other words, they have great knowledge of doctrinal beliefs, so pure in the beliefs, they had great understanding of their doctrinal beliefs, to the extent that they were even able to try apostles to see whether they were false or not. "And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." This church had left its first love. In other words, it did not love the Lord Jesus Christ as it should be loving. And if that church didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ as it should be loving, then naturally it will not love other people. Because our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is reflected by our love for other people. my dear friends, if we stress only on righteousness without showing mercy, we can be like the church at Ephesus. We could be a church that has left its first love, so much so that we do not know how to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we show our lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ by our lack of love for our fellow man. Yes. Now, it is also foolish if we act somewhere in between. That is, if we compromise mercy and righteousness. We act somewhere in between, we compromise mercy and righteousness. Now, we are not to compromise mercy, and we are not to compromise righteousness. Of course, I'm talking about the mercy of God and the righteousness of God. Now, it is because, I'm talking about our church now, it is because we do not want to compromise the righteousness of the Lord that we do not want to have any of our relief work done through the international social and religious organizations that are doing relief work. You see, such organizations are only interested in providing social relief. They have no interest in the righteousness of God. They have no interest in the salvation of souls. Now, my dear friends, the wise thing for us to do is not to be a one-thing-only type of people. Let us not be lopsided. And also, the wise thing for us to do is not to compromise God's mercy, not to compromise God's righteousness. The wise thing for us is to show mercy in its fullness, and to show God's righteousness in its fullness, not compromise and not lopsided, but show God's mercy and God's righteousness in their fullness. The psalmist says in Psalm 85, verse 10, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." In other words, my dear friends, we must show God's mercy in its fullness. We must show God's righteousness in its fullness. Yes. If we want to be wise, that is what we must be doing. We must not be lopsided, and we must not compromise God's mercy and righteousness either. Now, a foolish person is also one who lacks knowledge of the truth. He could be zealous, but he lacks knowledge of the truth. Now, if a person is zealous but has no knowledge of the truth, he can become very, very destructive. Very zealous, but no knowledge. He can become very, very destructive. He's sincere and zealous, but he's sincerely and zealously wrong. You think of the Apostle Paul before he was converted. He was very, very zealous in his religion, and he thought that he was doing God a great service by his zeal in persecuting Christians. And then after he became a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this was what he said of himself. He said, "I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, was injuring the church. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." In other words, he was full of zeal, but he had no knowledge. That is why he behaved the way he did. Zealous, but no knowledge. As a result of which, he was really very, very destructive, very injurious to the church. He persecuted the church. So it is needful that we build our knowledge in the Word of God. Very needful. Yes, we must have zeal, of course. We must have earnestness, of course. But friends, we must have knowledge of the Word of God. So I encourage you to participate in the various spiritual activities that we have in this church. I encourage you to participate in the basic Bible knowledge class. Now, the basic Bible knowledge class is not only for those who are preparing for baptism, but it's for anybody who is interested to know more about the fundamentals of our faith. So I encourage you to come and participate in our basic Bible knowledge class. And I also encourage you to participate in our study of the Westminster Confession of Faith. We do that once per month. Not really demanding. Now, it is an in-depth study of our doctrines, but friends, the study is very, very beneficial, I assure you. Now, if you want to have knowledge of the Word of God, friends, come and join us at the study of the Westminster Confession of Faith. And I encourage you to participate in our Sunday Bible study. After our worship service, we have our Bible study. What do we do after Sunday worship service? Why don't we stay around, fellowship, study God's Word, have our knowledge in the Word of God increase? Now, if we want to be wise, not to behave as fools, let us make sure that we are not lacking in knowledge. And we have provided various means to help you increase in knowledge. Why don't you come and take advantage of these provisions that we have made? And I encourage you to have your own private study of the Word of God. Get hold of some good Bible commentaries to study the Word of God. Now, if you do not know what Bible commentaries to get, come and see me. I'll recommend to you the kind of commentaries that you may be able to get to help you do the study of the Word of God. And then make use of our read, pray, and grow notes to help in the study of the Word of God. Our prayer is that all worshippers in this church be zealous, and not only zealous, be zealous and be knowledgeable, so that you will indeed not be a fool, but be wise. Now, so we are not to walk circumspectly as fools, we are not to walk based on our feelings, not based on our own desires. Now, we are not to be a one-thing-only type of person. In other words, we must not be lopsided in our views and our thinking, and not be a person that is filled with zeal and have no knowledge. Don't be fools, in other words. But walk as wise. Now, we have considered the acronym fool. Let us consider another acronym. WISE, W-I-S-E. Be filled with a working knowledge. Not just knowledge, but working knowledge. And number two, be an intent listener. Number three, have a sense of a fear of the one true living God. And then, build for eternity. Number one, be filled with a working knowledge. In this instance, it is the applied knowledge or working knowledge of the Word of God. If we want to be wise, we must not only have the knowledge of the Word of God in our head, but we must apply God's knowledge in our life. In other words, we must not only be hearers of God's word, but must be doers as well, if we want to be wise. I observed in my years working in the secular world that the boss is not necessarily the most highly academically qualified person in the office. Yes, very often he's not the most highly qualified. Chances are he would be surrounded by subordinates who are more qualified academically than he himself. Yes, in fact, I had this boss whom I worked for some years. He didn't have a very high education. He had a very, very ordinary kind of education. But he always seemed to be the smartest one, the one who made the best decision. I thought about it. Why was the boss so smart? Why was the boss so wise? Now, he was wise because he applied his knowledge well, and he was able to mobilize his subordinates to apply their knowledge well to achieve the objectives of the company. His knowledge was not theoretical business school knowledge, but his knowledge was working business knowledge. That is why he was able to make very, very wise business decisions. Now, likewise, if we want to be wise, we must have applied spiritual knowledge. Not just spiritual knowledge, but applied spiritual knowledge. Working knowledge. The book of James, in James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, if we are hearers of God's word, but not doers, hearers but not doers, it is like our looking into a mirror. And then we see some dirt on our face, and then we walk away and forget that we have this dirt on our face. How silly we will look, really. Yes. And then, but God's word is like a mirror. Yes, we look into it. It tells us what we really are. It tells us where we have gone wrong, where we have sinned. It tells us what sins we must repent from. Then it tells us the right things for us to do, the right direction to go, the right action to take. My dear friends, we must apply His word to our lives if we want to be wise. Don't just store God's word in our head, but apply God's word. So friends, let's study God's word. And every day ask the Lord, Lord, help me to apply your word to my life. So in our Bible study, when we study God's word, let us always go for the application of God's word. Not just the storage of God's word in our mind, but go for the application of God's word. Now, if we want to be wise, we must be intent listeners. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let's be intent listeners. Let's be swift to hear, slow to speak. Particularly in the matter of passing judgment. Many a time, my dear friends, we pass judgment very, very foolishly because we do not listen intently. The Lord says, judge not that ye be not judged. Now, it is not that we cannot judge, my dear friends. Let's not misunderstand. We can judge. Every day in our life, we pass some kinds of judgment. Every day, almost in everything we do, we pass judgment. You go into the supermarket to buy a thing where we judge whether the food that we buy is fresh or not fresh. Or then when we sign a business contract, we make a judgment as to whether or not we are entering into a good deal. We make a judgment. And when we buy a thing from a salesman, we judge whether the salesman is honest or dishonest. But friends, we are not to judge others in the sense of being judgmental. We are not to judge others in the sense of being judgmental, in the sense of not being self-righteous, not in the sense of a fault-finding. But friends, if we have to judge, we must avoid being foolish in the way we judge. Yes, and we will be very, very foolish in our judging if we are not intent listeners. We must listen carefully and then not prematurely come to a conclusion. Often and not, I dare say that we just hear one side of the story and then we come to a conclusion about that person or that event. That conclusion could very well be wrong because we've just heard one side of the story. To be wise, let's be intent listeners. Let us always try our very, very best to listen to all sides of the story before we form any kind of conclusion. Now, I told you the story of this dog. I'll tell you again about this dog who went to a butcher's shop and stole the length of a sausage. The butcher was very angry, of course. The butcher ran after the dog and shouted, "Bad dog, bad dog!" Then soon a big crowd gathered, and the big crowd didn't listen intently to what the butcher said, and so they went after the dog, and bad dog they heard as mad dog. So they said, mad dog, and they went after the dog. And what happened? After a time, they caught the dog. They said it was a mad dog, and therefore they killed the dog. Friends, bad dog became mad dog, and mad dog became a dead dog. Yes, they killed the dog thinking that it was mad, of course. My dear friends, we can make mistakes in our judgment if we don't listen intently. If there is a need for us to form a judgment about someone, let's listen intently. Don't just listen to one side of the story, as I said, but try our very best to listen to all sides of the story to avoid a foolish judgment. If we don't, we may perceive a good dog to be a bad dog, and perceive a bad dog to be a mad dog, and then make it a dead dog. And how foolish it will be, my dear friends, if the dead dog is your brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? We'll be very, very foolish. Yes, if we make a very, very bad, wrongful judgment. Next, to be wise, we must have a sense of the fear of God. The word of God says in Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord forms the basis for wisdom. It is the foundation of wisdom. Now, the fear here is not referring to terror, although it could, But it definitely includes the fear of God's judgment. It refers to a reverence for God. It is like a child who fears his daddy because he knows that daddy is well able to apply disciplinary action to him. So he fears his daddy, but he doesn't regard his daddy as a terror. Yes. And then he has a great deal of respect for daddy, and he loves daddy very much, and he knows that daddy loves him. And because of that, he says, I do not want to do anything to hurt him. That's what is meant by the fear of daddy. And that's what is meant by the fear of the Lord. We do not want to do anything to hurt the Lord. We do not want to do anything to grieve him, because we know he loves us. Yes, we know, and we love him. Yes. And we know, of course, that he's well able to apply his judgment to us. We know that. And we do not want to hurt him. We do not want to grieve him. That is what is meant by the fear of the Lord. Now, if we fear the Lord, we will act wisely. Now, you take the case of Joseph. Remember the case of Joseph? Yes, his master's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, tried to seduce him. Now, what was it that prevented him from being seduced? What was it that prevented him from being tempted? It was the fear of the Lord. My dear friends, I read for you from Genesis 39, verses 8 to 9. But Joseph refused. Yes, Mrs. Potiphar had already caught him in her arms. But Joseph refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master worketh not what is with me in the house. He does not know what is going on in this house. I take care of everything, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. He has entrusted everything into my hands. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I sin against God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He feared God. That is why he acted wisely. How foolish it would be. Of course, not in the eyes of man, yes, but in the sight of the one true living God, if he didn't fear the Lord and was seduced by this woman, if he were to succumb to the temptation that was presented to him. Friends, let our actions be guided by what? Be guided by the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says, The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, if we fear the Lord, we hate evil, we hate arrogance, we hate evil way, and the froward. If we fear the Lord, in short, what it means is this. If we fear the Lord, we will hate what God hates. And surely it is the wisest thing to do, to hate what God hates. Now, to be wise, we must build for eternity. There are those who think that they are going to be here on earth for all eternity. So there are people who are never satisfied with the size of their business empires on this earth. How foolish it is, my dear friends, for people to behave that way. Say, if they can gain the whole world, yes, let's say their empire is the whole world, if he can gain the whole world, but at the end of the day, if he loses his own soul, my dear friends, it's really foolishness. The Lord says this, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The wise thing for us to do is to build for eternity. Understand this truth. I think we all understand it. What was spoken by Job in Job 1:21. Job said this, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. I came naked, I'm going to return naked. And 1 Timothy 6:7, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. True? Absolutely true. All right? But where do we register this truth? Here or here? You see, many times it's just here, up in the head, but not in the heart. But friends, be wise. Let us invest for eternity. The Lord says to us, lay not up, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. How are we using our talents, my dear friends? How are we using the time the Lord has given to us, the abilities that the Lord has given to us, the energy that the Lord has given to us? Are we making use of them with eternity's values in view? Or are we just using them for the here and now? That's all. Friends, every time we expend any of these things, let us always try to remember that we are to expend all these things with eternity's values in view. Yes. Are we using all these gifts, these talents that the Lord has given to us to build ourselves up spiritually? And are we making use of these things to build other people up spiritually? And are we using all the talents and the gifts that the Lord has given us to win souls? You know what the Word of God says? He that winneth soul is what? Wise. He that winneth soul is wise. And we know it. And yet we don't care to win souls. Yes, my dear friends, how foolish we would be if we make use of all the talents, the gifts the Lord has given to us to build our mini empires on this earth and think that these empires are going to last forever. As we are people who have been awakened out of sleep, in other words, people who are spiritually alive, made alive by the one true living God, let us walk circumspectly. In other words, let's walk wisely, strictly, for the glory of God. Let us not be fools, but let us be wise. Don't act like fools. Don't walk based on our feelings. Our feelings, as we said, can deceive us. We can feel saved, but we might not be saved. We might still be lost in our trespasses and sin. But let's walk based on what? Based on God's word. Don't walk based on our own desires, but walk in accordance to his laws, because his laws make us wise. The word of God says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony or the law of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If we want to be wise, my dear friends, walk based on the laws of God. And always test our desires against his laws. Do we do that? Do we test our desires against his laws? If his laws forbid, you can be sure that our desires are wrong desires. They cannot be good desires. They are foolish desires. And then don't be a one thing only person. In other words, don't be very lopsided in our views, particularly when it comes to showing righteousness of mercy. Let us be sure we understand this truth. Mercy and truth have kissed each other. They have met together. Show forth mercy and the righteousness of God in their fullness. And let us not be lacking in the knowledge of the Word of God. Because if we are zealous and if we have no knowledge of the Word of God, we can be zealously destructive. So let's be sure that we know God's Word. And how do we know God's? How can we know God's Word? As we said, we have so many activities in this church that will help you grow in the Lord, to enable you to acquire more knowledge of the Word of God. And then in your own quiet time, you can help yourself to increase your knowledge of the Word of God by studying God's Word, of course, and get hold of some good Bible commentaries to help you in the study of God's Word. Why don't you do that, my dear friends? Then act like a wise man. Don't just have a knowledge of the Word of God, but have a working knowledge of the Word of God. Be doers of his word and not just hearers. And then listen intently before we make a judgment. If we have to make a judgment, let us be sure we listen intently. Always remember this principle. Listen to all sides of the story, first of all, before we make a conclusion. And then have a sense of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the foundation for wisdom. My dear friends, you don't fear the Lord, you can be sure that you are very, very lacking in wisdom. And finally, build for eternity. It is wisdom to realize and to remember that naked we came into this world, and for sure we are going to leave this world naked. So friends, let us do all things with eternity's values in view. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know that we need not be foolish, but we can be wise. Help us, O Lord God, to always act based on your word. Help us to have a good working knowledge of your word. And help us, O Lord God, always to be very intent listeners. And help us, O Lord God, to fear you. And every day, O Lord God, we pray that we may live our lives with eternity's values in view. Help us that we may not depend on our feelings, for feelings can be very deceptive. For there are times when our feelings tell us that that things are good to be done, but they are things that are contrary to your word. We pray that you help us to have the wisdom to rely completely on your word so that we may always act wisely. And help us, O Lord, to act in such a manner as not to satisfy our own desires, but always to act in compliance with your word. And Father, help us to be very, very balanced in the way we look at things based on your word. And help us, Lord, to increase our knowledge in you. Give us that holy discipline and the holy desire to want to acquire more and more knowledge of your truth. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.